Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are. Shalom aleikum, assalamu aleikum, namaste, pak sat nam, sat sri akal, tashi dalek, ho lila tanyan wasi yake. Hello, may everything be well with you as it is with me. Just the sound volume just a little bit, the recording level. There we go. Today, I wish to dedicate today's recitation of the Kaddish for the dead and the mourners of the dead to the memory of Raul Hilberg, who died on Shabbos, August 4th, this last Saturday, at the age of 81. As some of you may know, or maybe all of you, Raul Hilberg was and remains the world's foremost authority on the Holocaust, having literally invented the category of historical research known as Holocaust scholarship. His three-volume, 1,273-page, The Destruction of the European Jews, is regarded as the seminal study of the Nazi, quote-unquote, final solution, end quote, regarding the Jews. So now I ask you to close your eyes and to remember our brother, Raul Hilberg, and anyone else to whom you were close who has died, and by doing so, to bring them living once again into your memory as you listen to the Kaddish. Yisgadal v'yishkadash smeirabo bomo divro kirase v'yamlik melkase b'kayakon uvyo mekon uvkaye de kol beis Yisrael ba'agalo uvizman koyev ve'imru omein. Yehe shmei rabo mavorak leolam ulome omayo. Yisparak ve'yistabak ve'yisparar ve'yisramam ve'yisnase ve'yishadar ve'yishala ve'yishalal shmei dekudjo beraku. Leolo minkol berkoso ve'shiroso tush berkoso ve'nekemoso da'amiron be'olmo ve'imru omein. Yehe shlomo rabo min shemayo, vekayim aleinu val kol Yisrael ve'imru omein. Osei shalom bimramov, huyashe shalom, aleinu ve'al kol Yisrael ve'imru omein. Thank you very much. Let me check the recording levels here to make sure that we're still recording. Yes, we are. All right, very good. Now, welcome to today's shiur on Sabbati and Kabbalah. And over the last few shiurim, we have been teaching on Torah, on specifically what is Torah, what kinds of Torah are there, and what is it, what really is a Torah, the last couple of days specifically. We've been discussing that. Today we'll continue on with that. And just to kind of remind you where we are, I'll say that the great Kabbalists, the great sages, excuse me, have taught us that the Torah embodies three basic principles. First, it is a living organism, a divine being. It's the first creation of God, pre-existing anything else besides God and His name. Bear with me for a second. Drinking something here to moisten my throat. We talked about that in our last class meeting. Secondly, second major principle regarding Torah is that Torah constitutes the complete mystical name of God. From its first letter to its last, Torah is the revelation of God's mystical name to His creation, specifically to us. And we'll talk, that's what we'll focus on today. But just as to be complete here, so that you're not left hanging, the third principle, which we'll discuss in our next class meeting, is that the Torah is divine speech. And being divine speech, therefore, every sentence, word, and letter are infinitely significant. And nothing that man can say, because man is a human being and has available to him only human comprehension and speech, okay? Therefore, nothing that man can say can begin to exhaust the meaning of the divine speech that constitutes Torah. All right, so today we're going to look at the fact that Torah constitutes the complete mystical name of God. From its first letter to its last, Torah is the revelation of God's mystical name. And what better way to introduce this topic than to begin by opening with Psalm 118, verses 19 and 20, in which Dovid HaMelech, King David, sings to God the following. Pishkali Yishar Etzedek Ovo Vomodeko Pishkali Yishar Etzedek Ovo Vomodeko Ze Hashar Hashem Tzadiki. In English, King David is pleading with God and says, "Open for me the gates of righteousness. I shall enter through them. I shall give thanks to the Lord." That's verse 19. And then in 20 he says, "This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous will enter through it." Now, what are the gates of righteousness that David is pleading for God to open? The gates of righteousness are the 10 holy sephirot. Each one of the 10 sephirot is a level of revelation in the name of God and in the attributes of God as God descends into the world. And from man's perspective, from the perspective of the divine soul that God has given us, which must ultimately reascend to be totally spiritual as it leaves behind this earthly physical body, and in the mind of the mystic, those of us who worship God and God alone directly, and look for his mysteries and secrets in his Torah, each one of them is, we must ascend each one of them as a rung in Jacob's ladder. Okay? They are a level of consciousness to which we seek to ascend ever higher, back to the highest level, which is the source of God in Keter. Okay, so they're the 10 holy sephirot. Those are the gates of righteousness. They are the 10 revelations of God's holiness. The 10 sephirot are how God reveals himself in the world. The 10 words by which God himself was revealed, each one of those 10 sephirot, is a word. Heter, Hakma, Binah, etc., on down the line. And from here on out, in this teaching, in this lecture, I strongly recommend that you get for you and have in front of you, as in all of our teachings, a diagram of the 10 sephirot. Because you're going to be hard-pressed to visualize what we're talking about and what's going on here unless you have that diagram in front of you. That's the diagram of the Godhead. Okay, that's the supernal form of God. Okay, so those 10 sephirot, the gates of righteousness are the 10 sephirot. They're the 10 names by which God created the universe, the 10 utterances. They're the 10 attributes of God. And if we want to know God, we can know him only through these attributes. God's not a person. God doesn't have a physical body. And he doesn't have a physical voice. So we aren't going to find God walking somewhere on the road and be a person. I mean, that's not in the cards for us. Now, that may have been in the cards for Abraham, who saw God in the form of the three strangers who visited his tent at the crossroads in the form of three angels. But even those forms were not God himself. God is transcendent. God is above and beyond all things that we can imagine or experience. So all we can know him by are his attributes, his ten aspects, the ten sephirot. Okay, so King David says, open for me the gates of righteousness. He's saying, open for me your attributes, and I shall enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. And then he says, in verse 20, this is the gate of the Lord. The righteous will enter through it. Well, what does he mean by the gate of the Lord? This is a specific reference to Sephirah Malkut, kingdom, the bottom rung of Jacob's ladder. That's the tenth Sephirah. One cannot enter the Godhead from any position except here. Hence, it's called the gate of the Lord, because all of the ten Sephirot are the Lord. Okay? They are God. The gate to God is the bottom one. It's the looking glass through which one perceives God's higher attributes. It's the Shekinah, God's indwelling presence. It is Torah Shebal Peh, the oral Torah, as we discussed last week, Monday. So we see that the oral Torah is the bride which we must join to her groom, the written Torah that we previously identified as Tiferet. Okay? So, King David is literally, in these two verses, asking God to open up the oral Torah for him so that he may enter into the God's mysteries and secrets in the rest of the ten gates. The other nine gates are Sephirot. And for what purpose? He says to praise the Lord. To thank the Lord is another translation. I prefer praise. And the word Lord here is in Hebrew, the four letters, Yod, He, Vav, He. It's always translated by convention as Lord. And it's referred to, it's an ineffable, unpronounceable name for God. Jews don't say Yod Heh Vov Heh. That would be like a literal pronunciation of each of its letter components. Instead, they refer to, whenever they see that, they refer to it usually as Adonai. And or if they talk about God in more secular settings, they refer to that word, Yod Heh Vov Heh, as Hashem, the name. Hashem, the name. Okay? So David is saying that he wants to enter in through Malkut so that he can gain entry to the other nine attributes of God, the other gates of righteousness, so that he may praise Adonai, Hashem, Yod Heh Vov Heh. Okay? Now, we have said that we're going to teach today that Torah is the name of God. Okay, so let me refer you to this passage from the Zohar, from the core canonical text of oral Torah that is Kabbalistic in nature. Like the Talmud is not Kabbalistic, it's more exoteric, it's oral Torah, but the Zohar is oral Torah, that's the core body of Kabbalistic esoteric writings. Okay, so that part of Zohar called Shemot, the names, Section 2, page 124a of the San Sino translation says, and I quote, "One who observes the ordinances of the Torah and diligently studies it, it is as though he diligently studied the divine name. For the whole Torah is an enfolding of the one divine name, the one exalted name, the name that comprehends all other names. And hence, if one diminishes it even by a single letter, it is as though he made a gap in the divine name." Okay, so we have it right here. Oral Torah. God has told us that the whole Torah, every letter, every jot, tittle, and crown of every word, every letter and every word in the Torah, is an enfolding of the one divine name, the most exalted name, the name that comprehends all the other names. That's pretty heavy stuff, isn't it? Okay? What name is being referred to here? Well, it's a name that's composed of those four letters that are Yod, He, Vov, He. But it is in the form of Havayah. Havayah. That is spelled in Hebrew, He, Vov, Yod, He. He, Vov, Yod, He. Pronounced in transliteration, I guess, as Havayah. This is God's most mystical name. It has been called the Shem HaTzem, Shem HaEtzem, the essential name, because it symbolizes the ineffable transcendence of God's divine essence. It has been called the Shem HaMeyachad, the unique name, meaning it symbolizes the constancy of God's omnipotence and omnipresence, all-powerful, everywhere, before, during, and after the creation of the universe. And it has been called the Shem HaMefarash, the explicit name, symbolizing that the ultimate purpose of creation was God's determination, His will, to reveal Himself to His creation through His creation. So this is, all of these things are what Havayah is. It's as it says in the Zohar. For the whole Torah is an enfolding of the one divine name, the most exalted name, the name that comprehends all other names. Okay? So the name Havayah is the soul of souls, and the source of all light for the ten sephirot. Each one of the ten sephirot is a light. And inside each one of those ten sephirot is each of the other nine sephirot. And they all have an impact on each individual. All of the other sephirot have an impact on and influence on each individual sephira. Okay, and each of those each sephira is a source of light, and each one has a different gradation, influence, essence that makes it unique and different from each of the others. And it's through all of their interactions, the blending and mixtures of those lights through the channels of the 22 letters. So here we have a mixture of numbers. Each sephira is also a number. There's 1 through 10. And each one of the 22 letters is the channels that connect these 10 sephira or lights. And it's through the combination of all of the influences that come from those different lights as they are permuted and combined into different names of God and into different words or utterances of God, that the universe comes into existence. First of all, that God is manifest into this world. And secondly, that this world is created. And what does that really say? It says that this world is God, because this world is made from each of the 10 names of God. Each one of those 10 sephirot is a name, and all of those 10 sephirot are enfolded into a whole called Havaya, God's most mystical name, his essential name, his unique name, his explicit name. Okay, so the name Havaya is the soul of souls and the source of all the light that's distributed to the 10 sephirot. Now, this name, Havaya, is composed of four letters and a spike, and I can't remember if they call that the tittle or the jot. Doesn't matter. But the four letters are Yod, Hey, Vov, Hey, and above the Yod is a spike. Okay? Each one of these things, these five things, corresponds to the ten sephirot in a certain place. Okay? And here's how that works. The Katso Shel Yod, the Katso Shel Yod, the spike of the Yod, corresponds to Keter, the crown. The Yod corresponds to Chokmah, wisdom. The Hey corresponds to Binah, understanding. The Vov corresponds to the six sephirot that flow out of the union of Chokmah and Binah. So in other words, the next six down, that means from Chesed, Chesed, Gevurah, Teferet, Netzach, Hod, and Yisod. Okay? Those correspond to Vov. And then the final Hay, the lower Hay, corresponds to Malkut. Okay? The last or tenth of the ten sephirot. Okay? Now, in detail, here's what the meaning is on this. So, the Katso Shel Yod, the spike of the Yod, corresponds to Keter, the crown. It's the diadem of God. Okay, the Yod corresponds to Chokmah or wisdom. This symbolizes Abba, the Father. Ab, the first two letters of the name of Abraham, who's the father of us all. Okay, because he alone was found worthy because he alone discovered the oneness of God, the oneness of God's name. So, and what is that? That's wisdom. He demonstrated he alone, out of all of the people, in the wicked generation, demonstrated that, because they were worshiping idols, he alone demonstrated the wisdom to know that there was only one God and that God had one name. All of the names resolved to one name. And he and that name are one. Okay? And so his name was Abram, and after he circumcised himself and came to this knowledge and began to worship this God, he had a Heh added to his name. The Holy Spirit was added to his name. The feminine was added to his name. The daughter was joined to him, the father. And he became Avraham. Okay. So, Yod corresponds to Chokmah. Symbolizes Abba the Father, symbolizes the creation of time itself. This is when time, because before the creation of space, matter, and time, the universe, it didn't exist. So this is when, this is the point at which time began in the universe. Okay, the Yod also symbolizes Torah de Kaduma, primordial Torah. This is the blueprint of the universe. And the tools with which the master maker, the creator, made it. All right. The Hey in the name Havaya corresponds to Binah, understanding. This symbolizes Ima, the mother. So now we've got the king in Keter, Abba in Chokmah, and Ima in Binah, Ima the mother. So we got the king, the father, and the mother. Okay, now we get the Vov. And the Vov corresponds to, as I said, the six sephirot that flow out of the union of Chokmah and Binah. Six. Why six? Six symbolizes the 6 days in which God made the world. It symbolizes the six dimensions in which the physical universe came into being. Those six dimensions are, this is the six physical dimensions, up, down, left, right, front, and back. Notice that we really have, three continuums here. I think it's probably continua, plural, but continuums may be easier to understand. We have actually three dimensions with six directions, for a total of six directions and three dimensions. Because these are three pairs of opposites. There's up and down, left and right, front and back. Now then, the Vov also symbolizes the Torah Shebiktav, the written Torah. Whereas we said Abba the Father is the primordial Torah, then Tiferet, who is the center Sephira in the six, symbolizes the Son, and that is the written Torah. So the written Torah descends from the primordial Torah, and from the Father comes forth the Son, or the child, if we want to be technical here. But we're going to say the Son. This is how it's taught by the ancient sages. Okay. Now, Tiferet is also the bridegroom. Okay. Now, what comes next is the last of the ten Sephirot, Malkut Kingdom. And this, to this corresponds, out of the name Havaya, the lower He. The lower He. It symbolizes that aspect of God that is the interface between the upper and the lower worlds. It's the Sephira that is the closest to mankind. It's the one that's the farthest from the highest part of God. It's the lowest of the ten Sephira. It's on the borderline between God and man. It's the interface. It's the recipient of God's holy Shafa, or divine sustenance, and the source of all nourishment for the world. So all of the influence of God, of the lights and forces of the ten Sephirot that flow down through the 22 channels, and if you look at your diagram in the ten Sephirot, what do you see? You see that all of these lines interconnect, but they all come down and into Yesod. Yesod, which represents the phallus of the divine body. And out of that comes the semen and flows into the daughter, Shekinah, Nukva, the feminine in God, which is what the feminine does, doesn't it? Receives the seed of the masculine. And from there is impregnated and gives birth to the physical world in which we reside. So into that womb comes the nourishing divine sustenance and seed of God. And from that womb comes the world and us and everything necessary to sustain us. All of our blessings, all of our energy, physical, emotional, spiritual, and mental, all of it comes from the sea. This is another word. It's for Shekinah, or for the ten Sephira, is the sea. Because all the rivers, the four rivers of Gan Eden, drain into the sea. And from that sea, we derive our sustenance. And it's a good metaphor, because the Darwinists, the biologists, not all of them are Darwinists, believe me, not anymore. they are increasingly discovering that life is far too complex to have arisen by chance, statistically improbable to the point of being a statistical impossibility. They, both the biologists and the quantum physicists, are increasingly coming to the conclusion that there's an underlying order in the universe that organizes everything. And if there's something that organizes everything that existed before the universe did, that implies purpose. And if you have purpose, that implies maker. Just as that old saying, the fact that you're looking at a watch implies that there's a watchmaker. Okay, that's what we're talking about here. Okay, but what they always say is the Darwinists and the biologists who are not Darwinists say that life arose from the ocean, came from the sea. All life came from the sea. And they agree with Kabbalah. Kabbalah said it before there were any biologists. All right. Now then, it is our job to unify God's face. This is the Godhead. God's face, God's supernal form, are the ten sephirot. This is called in Hebrew, tikkun ha-panim. Tikkun ha-panim, repair of the face. This means the unification of the names of God through the study and observance of the Torah, and meditation and prayer and mystical actions, with the kavana, or mystical intention, of unifying God's names. Okay? Returning all of those individual ten names to a condition of one name. All the individual ten names. What are those ten names? I haven't mentioned them. I have before, but I'm going to mention them. Each one of those ten sephirot has a name of God associated with it. And I'm going to go through them in order here from memory. Bear with me here. Don't have it in front of me, but here's what we have. We have Ahaya is the name of God associated with Keter. Yah associated with Hakmah, Y-A-H. Yahweh Elohim, pronounced just Elohim, associated with Binah. El, associated with Chesed. Elohim, associated with Gevurah. Yod-Heh-Vov-Heh, associated with Tiferet. Yahweh Savayat, associated with Netzach. Elohim Savayat, associated with Hod. El Shaddai, or El Chai. There's a difference of opinion as to which of these two names is most properly associated with Yesod. One set of Kabbalists, of the ancient sages, said it was El Shaddai, God Almighty. And another set, equally as impressive and valid, say that it's El Chai. So when I unify the names in my meditations and prayers, I say both. I say El Shaddai and El Chai. El Chai means the living God. And then finally, Malkut, with Malkut is associated Yahweh Adonai. Okay, so Adonai incorporates Yod-Heh-Vov-Heh, Yahweh. So this helps explain why it is, I told you earlier, that Jews, observant Jews, do not say, whenever they read in the Bible and in Hebrew and see the word Yod-Heh-Vov-Heh, they do not say Yod-Heh-Vov-Heh or Yahweh. They say Adonai or Hashem, but in religious for religious purposes, they say Adonai. And this explains why. Because Adonai incorporates all that's above it. Adonai is associated with Malkut. And everything above it flows into Malkut to come to this world. So that means all of Yahweh, all of the rest of the names come into Malkut. All right. Now, getting back to what I was saying here, it's our job to raise up and unify all these disparate ten names into one name. What name is that? It's the one mystical central name which we began talking about. Havaya, the soul of the souls and the source of all the light of the ten sephirot. That means God and the world. Okay, that name is the ultimate name. Havaya. So we want to take those ten names of those ten separate sephirot and unify them. So how do we do this? This is tikkun ha-panim. We raise, first there's these steps, these three steps. We raise up the fallen bride, that's Shekinah. Okay? That is oral Torah. Torah Shebaal Peh, the oral Torah, which is Shekinah, which is Malkut. And we cause her, through our actions and prayers and meditations, to turn her eyes upward. Because all of the ten sefirot look downward. Because this is God descending into the world. All of the ones up above can see the ones below them. But they can't see the ones above them. Okay? So all of them can see one below them. At least one. Yesod can see one. Netzach and Hod can see two. Etc. Tiferet, the groom, can see his bride. His sister. The daughter of God, which has fallen into the abyss in Malkut. He can see her. And he would love, he laments and mourns for her. And this is what the subject of the Song of Songs is. Solomon's Song of Songs. But she doesn't look up. She can't look up. She can't see him. She's alone in exile in the world. So our job and our first step is to raise her up, to get her to turn her eyes upward. Then, when she does, she sees her beloved groom, the Holy One, blessed be He, who is mourning her absence, as I said. Then, we escort her. We lift her spiritually up. And we do this, we can do this anytime, but certainly we must. We are commanded. Just a moment. Excuse me for that call. We are commanded to do this at least on Erev Shabbos, Erev Shabbat. That's the Friday afternoon when we usher in the Sabbath bride. We bring in the Sabbath bride into our homes and into our hearts, and we raise her up and take her to the wedding canopy, which is what? That's the four sefirot surrounding Tiferet. Why? Tiferet's there. He's the groom. He's awaiting the appearance of the bride. We walk her up the aisle. We take her up to the wedding canopy, where she is joined in the Haros Gamos, the holy wedding, to the Holy One, blessed be He. And so what has happened when we do that? We have accomplished now uniting the oral Torah and the written Torah. Because remember, Malkut, Shekinah, is the oral Torah, and Tiferet, the groom, is the written Torah. Okay, when we do that, when they're joined, all of the sefirot below the first three, which is Keter, Hukma, and Banah, the king, the ancient holy one, and Abba father and Ima mother, all of those are rolled in to Tiferet. They are all absorbed and joined, reunified into Tiferet. And now there is only the sun. Okay, and the sun, of course, is androgynous, both male and female, because incorporated in is his sister, the daughter. Okay, so why do I say she's the daughter? Well, she's the daughter because she's feminine, and Shekinah is feminine, but we have a specific teaching to that effect, and that's this. God said, quote, God said, my daughter, that is the Torah. Okay, so that's out of Leviticus Rabbah 120a. Okay, so we're told that oral Torah is God's daughter. Okay, Shekinah is God's daughter. Okay, so we arouse her to look upward, and then we bring her and escort her up the aisle to the wedding canopy, where she is united with her brother, the son, her groom, and they're joined in holy marriage, spiritual marriage, divine marriage. And when that happens, all of the disparate ones below the level of Atzilut, Keter, Hukma, and Banah, all of those sefirot are rolled together and become one, the sun. Then what do? We raise up the sun, which is Tiferet, Shekinah, and all of the other absorbed lower sefirot, to the Father, which is what? It's Abba, Hakma. This unification of the most mystical name of God is alluded to in Proverbs 30. These things just aren't pulled out of the air. People, the Kabbalists, the sages just didn't sit around thinking these things up. These things are revealed as a result of the Ruach HaKodesh, divine inspiration, being visited upon them by God, the voice of God, the Bat Kol, the voice of the All, the voice of the daughter being Torah, teaching, revealing its secrets, her secrets, to the masters, which they then record either to memory or into writing later on. So in Proverbs 30, chapter 30, verse 4, we see this. What is his name? What is his son's name? Do you know? What is his name? What is his son's name? Do you know? Proverbs 30, verse 4. The Kabbalistic sages turn this around from a set of questions to a set of statements. Because after all, there's no question marks, there's no punctuation marks in the Hebrew alphabet. So it's totally contextual that people put question marks, periods, exclamation marks in when they translate the Torah. They don't exist in Hebrew. So it's just as valid to say, what is his name? What is his son's name? So instead of what being a pronoun referring to his name through the connective verb is, and what being a pronoun referring to his son's name through the connective verb is, the sages are saying that what is actually a noun. It's a name. And it says, what is his name? What in Hebrew is the word ma, M-A, not like mother. Okay, don't confuse it with mother, ma. This isn't what we're talking about here. Ma is the Hebrew word which is translated to the English word what. And so it's just a pure statement. What is his son's name? What is his name? Okay, so what's the gematria of ma? It's 45. That means the value of the letters in ma is 45. Mem, aleph. I'm not going to say mem aleph, but anyway, the two letters that are in there, I don't have this in front of me. It could be a he. I'm just not sure. Anyway, the numerical value, each letter in the Hebrew alphabet has a numerical value that never changes, that's associated with it. Mem has one, and it must be he. Anyway, it's 45. That happens to be, and I shouldn't say happen because that implies chance or circumstance. I will say instead, the gematria of Ma is 45, and the gematria of the mystical name Havaya is also 45. So they're the same. Okay, so the whole entire name, whose value is 45, is the same value of Ma, which is what, which is in this passage from Proverbs 30, verse 4. Ma is his name. Ma is his son's name. So we can substitute for Ma, Havaya. Havaya is his name. Havaya is his son's name. It's been reunified. Okay? So that's the allusion there. So, when we do this repair, this unification of God's names, which are the Torah, we raise up and we join together these three things. One, all the individual names of God associated with each of the 10 holy sephirot, which I named off earlier. Two, we raise up and join together the oral Torah, the written Torah, and the primordial Torah. And thirdly, we join together the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Father being the primordial Torah, Abba. the Son being the written Torah, Teferet, and the Holy Spirit being the Shekinah, being oral Torah. And now I'll leave you, having discussed this concept of the Torah being the mystical name of God being revealed to us through the Ten Sefirot, the 22 letters, which contain all of the names of God, and the Holy Torah being one huge name, revealed name of God in all its permutations. I'll leave with you this teaching that from the Oral Torah, the Zohar, from Shemot section 2, page 90b. Quote, "For the Torah is the name of the Holy One, blessed be He, as the name of the Holy One is engraved in the 10 words, or creative utterances, of creation, so is the whole Torah engraved in the 10 words of the Decalogue. And these 10 words are the name of the Holy One. And the whole Torah is thus one name, the holy name of God Himself. Blessed is he who is worthy of her, the Torah, for he will be worthy of the holy name." Said Rabbi Yossi, "This means that he will be worthy of the Holy One himself, as he and his name are one." That's the Zohar Shemot section 2, page 90b. Baruch Hashem, blessed be the name of God, blessed be his Torah, blessed be his disciples and students, his children, as they learn and go forward. This concludes today's teaching. It will be rebroadcast today, as every time that we teach, at 10 p.m. Eastern Time at the same place, same room on Pal Talk. And our next live audio lecture will be next Monday, the 13th of August at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, same room in Pal Talk, where we will discuss the third principle, Kabbalistic principle of Torah, and that is that Torah is divine speech, and therefore every sentence, word, and letter are infinitely significant, and nothing that man can say can begin to exhaust the meaning of Torah. We'll begin teaching on that this next Monday at 7 p.m. I hope to see you there, and hope you've enjoyed this teaching. And now I ask you, as we part, to remember God at least twice, comfort God, have mercy upon God, and be one of the righteous. Count yourself among one of the righteous. Go from strength to strength. Sei gesund.